To part two after the show, David Uberti of The Wall Street Journal. I'm Amy Goodman.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Hi, this is Al McFarlane, host of The Conversation with Al McFarlane. You're listening to 90.3 FM, KFAI, Minneapolis. I'm Al McFarland. Welcome to The Conversation with Al McFarland. Today's show is a presentation by the public scholar, philosopher, educator, Eric Michael Dyson, Dr. Dyson, who presented to the fourth Black Men's Legacy Summit here back in October. I'm going to listen to his presentation. His is the first of several we'll be doing over the next several weeks. Presenting just enlightening, illuminating information about building wealth in the Black community. Let's check it out.
I want to thank Brother McGee for this tremendous opportunity to be here with you all today. And my good sister, Anna B. Hyde, I know she's on the plane somewhere. She's here? In the back. Oh, okay. Look at it. Brother Hyde. They're a great couple, tremendous, tremendous people. Hooked me up with Brother McGee, and to have this opportunity to hang out with y'all here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. is a rich, rich reward. I've been here many times, lectured at, is it the Walker Museum on Michael Jackson? Sorry, Prince, but you know, it was, Prince was the man though. He invited me here to, what's this place?
Paisley Park.
I was trying to get him to celebrate my anniversary, but I forgot he was Jehovah's Witness, and that ain't what they do. But we had a heck of a conversation and engagement, and coming here over the years, very good friends. I don't think Sister Catrice Williams is here, but from the Urban League. And the Urban League, I came and hung out again because of Sister Anna, and had a tremendous time, tremendous pastors here and preachers out of my church, Alfred Street. Y'all got a tremendous preacher in the local area here. I don't think he's here this morning, but it's always great to be here. I've started a fund too. I want to thank Brother Dare for that $5 billion fund. I have a $5 fund. By the end of the year, it'll be $500. By the end of the decade, hopefully $5,000. But that's a lot of money to even be in charge of trying to do something with. And that's an incredible thing because we were the capital.
Yeah.
Right? Wow. We were the wealth of a society that invested in Black bodies, not for our advancement, but so that their culture could be advanced. Now we got white ministers saying we ought to thank God that God took us from Africa and brought us here. I don't know if y'all keep up with that. Y'all pretty holy here in Minneapolis. Jesse Jackson said, you got Martin Luther King Jr. on your wall in the church and Billy Graham in your pulpit. Yeah. Man, if this microphone really worked, I would lay it out. I got to get it. This microphone going in and out, I can't do what I'm supposed to do. But now we got white ministers who are claiming we should be thankful to God that we were enslaved so that we could be brought here to enjoy the benefit and the bounty of American society. So we can benefit from this autocrat, this vicious demagogue, this orange apparition. Volume, so I could scream at you a little bit.
Come on.
But so that we could come to America and have the opportunity to be the subject and servant of American wealth building projects. So when we talk about legacy, it's not just a simplistic, narrow reduction to building wealth outside of the context of the politics that allow wealth to be built.
All right, right.
Right? Right. So when the man in charge says, I got a friend that's going to give $130 million so that the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines can get paid,
right.
That's a hell of a legacy.
All right.
That you could just drop $130 million. I didn't want him to be announcing that I had done that, but... I was just trying to be anonymous. But wealth, the cumulative product of monies gathered that allows that money to work for itself,
yes,
and work for you where you ain't got to work, right? I don't know about you, but I got to get up every day. So I'll be telling my kids, out of my house, but not out of my pocket.
Amen.
That's why I can't build no wealth.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, man. Okay, have y'all laughing. Another about over here. Yeah. The jokes ain't getting over here. It's going to work better if you laugh at my jokes. If you don't laugh, I'm going to be up in here until you laugh. So it's going to be rough. But when we talk about legacy, and we're talking about a legacy summit, and we're talking about black men, good to see all the black men out here. Right? I mean, black men are in a paradoxical position, right? Right? That on the one hand, we are hated and despised, but everybody wants us. I ain't gonna break that down, but I'm just saying. Minnesota know all about that.
That's right.
So we in a paradoxical position because we are despised and desired at the same time. And when we talk about black masculinity, we know about toxic masculinity. We got enough of it in our community, but we learned it from somewhere. It didn't start with us. If you want to know a definition of toxic masculinity, right, where you just tear down stuff.
Yeah.
If it wasn't kids in here, I'd say that other word rhyming with it. Like hit. But there's babies up in here. But y'all know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see that. You tear down the East Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to be explicit. I don't want to mention no names. Anything bearing resemblance to reality is totally coincidental. I'm waiting for the last Trump to sound from the Bible. Now y'all getting with it. Come on. Now. I'm trying to stay out of jail and go to hell. or at least send somebody there. So the thing is, it's paradoxical to be a black man, because on the one hand, we're despised, on the other hand, we're desired. And on the one hand, we are denied legitimate access to opportunity, while we notice that the women in our lives have extraordinary opportunities, but they ain't got that because somebody gave it to them.
Real.
See, men don't need to be jealous of women and dogging women like, oh, they just gave it to you, Shaniqua. Me, Rafiq, I have to work hard. First of all, your woman working twice as hard as you. I know y'all don't want to hear this, but we gonna be feminist black men up in here. Some black men mad looking at me, what the hell you talking about? Right? It ain't like they gave them something, right? They had to work hard. The most educated constituency and clientele and segment of society are black women. Right? I didn't say in black America, I'm talking about in America, period. Right? Now, that don't mean that black men ain't got the hustle. We know in a patriarchal society, the greatest threat is another patriarch. Right? You don't want me taking your place. You don't mind certain others slipping in. That doesn't mean, again, that black women are given the go. Look at how black women are under assault now. Jasmine Crockett.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was Nikki Giovanni, the great Nikki Giovanni, who told me why she had a picture of Tupac. I wrote a book on Tupac, tattooed on her arm. She said, somebody got to call a mother.
Mm-hmm.
A mother.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? These kids are breaking my style over here. Thank God the kids in here, because I'd be cussing up a storm right now. And you would deny my Baptist leadership. Don't nobody cuss like a Baptist preacher. They're lying to you. Oh my God, I can show you the text streams. Those are not biblical words they're repeating. So, black women like Jasmine Crockett under assault. Joy Reid,
yeah.
Ketanji Brown Jackson,
yeah.
Right? Because
yeah.
Charlie Kirk said they didn't have the brain processing power. I'm going to get the black men in legacy. Let me do my thing.
That's right.
So, now look, killing that white man because he was talking is evil.
Right.
Ain't no asterisk, ain't no but, nothing. Because
right.
I talk for a living. I don't know about, look, if you disagree, disagree. Don't be trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And at the same time, you were a bigot,
yes,
and a racist,
yes,
by saying that black women didn't have the brain processing power. You were high school, you were a college dropout.
Yeah.
Joy Reid and Ketanji went to Harvard. Last time I checked, it's a pretty good school. It ain't University of Minnesota, but it's a good school. It ain't Twin Cities, but it's a good place. If you go get an education. And so he called Martin Luther King Jr. awful and dogged him out. I mean, bro, we ain't gonna have no march for you. We ain't got no statue for you. And we ain't gonna try to pretend that you were heroic. The only thing resembling Martin Luther King Jr., both of y'all's last name ended in K. With four letters. King was a king, was a man, was a martyr, was a hero, was a saint. The greatest American we've ever produced. That's just me. Y'all got different stories. You got different people on that list. Make up your own list.
Mm-hmm.
My list, Jesus King. That's how it goes.
Right.
Someday, no, let me show
you.
Jesus, you know I'm just playing. You made him, come on, you made him. You know how cold he was. So, the thing is that we live in a white supremacist culture, demonizing black women. We don't need to turn around and do the same thing as black men. Now, we don't need no help from white supremacy, calling a woman a bitch, a hoe, a skeezer, a slut, a hood rat, a chicken head.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I just got inducted into to the Hip Hop Hall of Fame last Thursday.
Thank you.
No, I'm not a rapper. But I play one on TV. I pimp pages, turn metaphors to better horse to serve sages like Socrates and Plato while you dealing with Titlamix and Plato. You think that a Plato, I write books like niggas write hooks. But enough about me. Black men who have been demonized, black men who have been stigmatized, black men who have been traumatized, black men who have been the representative of the strong and enduring legacy of resistance must join with black women in recognizing their genius and gift and sacrifice.
Amen.
My pastor used to tell me, you ain't got to stand on a woman's grave to feel tall. Man, I could preach that. So we don't want to dog women. We don't want to dog gay men. You knew I was going there, right? Got real quiet. Let me stay right there. See, when I preach and they get quiet, that's where I stay. When you say amen, you got the point. I ain't got to stay there. When you get real quiet, let me go there more. Jiminy Cricket, is he talking about gay? Yeah. Because I don't know when black people started being homophobic. I just had a birthday, October 23rd. What's wrong with you people? Turn 67. Mike, stop. You look so good, Mike. Thank you. And the thing is, when I was coming up, we knew Andre was gay.
Yeah.
Anybody said, we knew. But he ain't made no point about it. Well, we got what? Andre gay, and Andre was whipping everybody's butt, was trying to mess with us in the hood. So Andre, do your thing. Be who you be. Do what you want to do. And so now we done taken in white supremacist, white Christian nationalism, telling us that to be gay is to be a problem. Now last time I checked, God made everybody or God ain't made nobody. Ain't no in between.
Amen.
Well, I'm not saying God made them that way. They were born regular, and then they became extra. Hot damn it. Don't be mad because they special. And they working it. What, you scared they gonna influence you? What you scared of? Why you mad at a trans man or a trans woman? You can't figure it out? So now you get upset. We ain't got time to be dissing no gay men who are, after all, black men. They didn't, when they were lynching us, they didn't take no test. Are you gay or straight? Because if you're gay, we're not gonna lynch you. That ain't how it went, right? James Baldwin was a black gay man, the greatest, perhaps, defender of black people in terms of writing, right? You got the fire next time? If you ain't, you need to read it. 100 pages, it is pure fire. Black gay man, right? And so, a lot of black people done blessed you who were gay, you just didn't know it. And then when you find out, would you get retroactively homophobic? Oh my God. If I had known you were gay, I would have never taken that 4-year fellowship you gave me to go to University of Minnesota, graduate and get a job. I would have turned it down. Right? How silly is that? Like discovering somebody was a different party or from a different part of the country. So the reason I start here is that if we're going to talk about black masculinity in the context in which we live, we got to understand we ain't mad at women, we ain't mad at other sexual identities, right? We are understanding the degree to which we have been victims of that same white supremacy that has hamstrung our women and children. And the best thing we need to do is to work together. Because guess what? A lot of the people who are advocating for black men are black women.
Right.
I'm all over the country with this, dog. And I'm telling you, Susan Taylor, CARES Mentoring,
yes.
Brother Carl Bell here. Curtis Bell, my man from CARES Mentoring in Minnesota. Is he here? Oh, right there. Okay, my man. You got a beard since I've seen you last. Okay. That's what black men can do, grow beards. Be silver foxes. That's what we do. As we age, you young boys better understand. We ain't got to call no woman no bitch, hoe, skeezer, and slut. Right? We go, my girl. Talking about my girl. Man, y'all don't know nothing about that. This weak game y'all got to call her shorty. She taller than you. Man, we could have a whole session about how to holler at the ladies. Show some respect up in there. You get far more with honey than vinegar. Huh? Excuse me, miss. What's your name? Okay. What's your name? Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all listen to Little Uzi Vert and Little Baby and Baby Mama. Y'all, I don't know what y'all listening to. So the context of the culture, the predicament of the politics, is that we're in a white supremacist culture. What do we mean by white supremacy? The conscious or unconscious belief in the inherent superiority of one group over another. So we ain't gotta be mad at black women, we ain't gotta be mad at black trans or gay folk. And trans, we halfway there, right? Who did this to you? Mama and them. Oh, them. How did they do it? They did it. You got they and them down. You halfway there with the pronouns. When y'all go to church and you believe that the cracker, I'm talking about a piece of cracker. Don't even misquote me now. Dyson says crackers go to church too. That's what I said. When you get the cracker and the wine, you believe that's what? Jesus's body. You know what that's called? Transubstantiation. You already believe in trans. I ain't no regular preacher. So the thing is, that's why I ain't got no church. I'm an itinerant. I go where I can go. Which ain't many places. So I'm taking it on y'all this morning. So the thing is, in a white supremacist culture, we are taught that we are unworthy and incapable. First thing this prevaricating pariah did was to get in office and attack DEI.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like y'all ain't some of the dumbest ass white people we've ever seen in life. Right? I know white people here, you know. I knew you were ashamed. We have better whites than that. We have better white folk than that. Right? We know Shakespeare was colored. We know Walt Whitman was colored. We know Elizabeth Barrett Browning was cold. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. We know Alfred Lord Tennyson was cold, though much is taken, much abides. And though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic heart made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. We know white folk who have been cold. This ain't them. And now you've beaten up on us, making us feel unworthy that DEI is a problem. DEI was a concession we made because you didn't want reparations and you didn't want affirmative action. So we said, cool, we'll do diversity because white women got in on the diversity too.
Right.
And now you don't even want that. And you could be a commentator on Fox News one weekend and running the Department of Defense the next. The next. And you can't even keep your stuff off a signal. If your neighbor don't know what it is, turn to your neighbor and say, signal is something I'm gonna tell you about. A little app, right? You up here spreading everything, you snitching on yourself. You self-snitching. You gotta worry about national security. You are the problem. And so I say all that to say, when we talk about black men, we're something else. And it's great to be a black man, because even if we ain't got money in the bank, we got game and style. I don't know, we just can't help it. You know, I saw a brother out in the street, little tiny lady passing him by. He said, what's up, to-go package? Man, I don't want to reduce you to a commodified possession. That's not my point. Just spitting game, right? Back in my day, we were coming up, how you doing? I can't call it. Clever as ever, right? We had linguistic flexibility. We had nuance. We had complicated conceptions of the world. And we knew how to treat women with respect. I ain't saying the hip-hop generation started the B-word and stuff, because they heard it from us and older people. The N-word didn't start with them. I heard Baptist preachers, and I preached to my niggas today. Sorry, that's what they said, right? But what I am saying is that this generation has amplified its echo into a chamber that roars with hostilities at some points, with anger and trauma at others. And so how can we join in a conversation with younger people, younger men in particular, to help redeem a generation that has been victimized by white supremacy, patriarchal perspectives, poisonous and patriarchy, and toxic masculinity, and find the redemptive strain of who we are? Because at our best, we are love. Okay, I had to hit you with the eyes list, but at our best, y'all don't even remember that song, do you? At your best, you are loved. Y'all remember that song?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they didn't have Isley Brothers in Minnesota. I guess. y'all don't, what y'all listening to? Roy Como? I don't know who y'all listening to. Perry Como? What y'all listening to over here? Y'all had a heck of a soul tradition, right?
Yeah.
With Jan and Lewis, are they from here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Prince.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Minneapolis was a heck of a place. What's my man, Morris?
Yeah.
You know, Brother Day. The SOS band.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend Love. Man. So, in the midst of all of that, we have got to figure out through the welter of images that prevail who we are as black men. And to clarify who we are self-affirming, worthy citizens of our community in creating opportunities for others as we seek them for ourselves, loving our families, and figuring out ways to create possibilities of accumulated money that becomes wealth, that works for itself while we create opportunities for others.
All right.
Let me read you these words from my man. When he, he says, his daughter, Blue. He says, Daddy, what's a will? Verse 1, take those monies and spread across families. My sisters, Hattie and Lou, the nephews, cousin and T.T. Eric, the rest to B, his wife is B. Gives you a hint of who that is. Mm-hmm. Queen B. Y'all know who that is? Jacob, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, H to the O-B. I used to move so flex by the O-Z. Come on, y'all. Take those monies and spread across families. My sisters, Hattie and Lou, the nephews, cousins, and T.T. Eric, the rest to B for whatever she wants to do. She might start an institute. She might put poor kids through school. My stake in Rock Nation should go to you. Leave a piece for your siblings to give to their children, too. Title, the champagne. Do say, I'd like to see a nice peace fund ideas from people who look like we. We're going to start a society within a society. That's major, just like the Negro League. There was a time America wouldn't let us ball. Those times are now back, just now called Afrotech. Generational wealth, that's the key. My parents ain't have crap. So that shift started with me. My mom took her money, she bought me bonds. That was the sweetest thing of all time. Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellence, baby, you gonna let them see. Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellency, baby, let them see. I remember like listening to Wu-Tang and people like your seed, married my seed. That's how we keep Carter money all in the family. You see, my father, son of a preacher man whose daughter couldn't escape the reach of the preacher's hand, that charge of energy set all the Carters back. I took all these years to get to zero, in fact. I hated religion because here was this Christian. He was preaching on Sundays versus how he was living Monday. Someday I forgive him because strangely our division led to multiple religions. I studied Muslim, Buddhist, and Christians. And I was running from him. He was giving me wisdom. See how the universe works? It takes my hurt and helped me find more of myself. It's a gift and a curse. That's called the Red Queen's race. You run this hard just to stay in place. Keep up the pace, baby. Keep up the pace. You run this hard just to stay in place. Legacy, legacy, legacy. Someday we'll all be free. Now, that's Jay-Z talking about legacy. Starting Poe and Black in Brooklyn, one of many children, the youngest, found his niche after selling drugs. There was something he was better at, spitting, talking, versifying, rapping, and then went from that to now being worth $2.5 billion. Legacy, generational wealth. And so what we are aiming for is to figure out ways to create opportunities so that when they are denied us in the dominant society, we are able to use our wherewithal to offer our families and communities the ability to survive regardless of what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're in the midst of it now. We know we're living through an extraordinary time with this furious fascist has seized power, trying to talk about having a third term. Because just like they said they were going to do it in 2025, they told us what they was going to do and doing it. We didn't believe them. Some Negroes, we ain't going to vote. It ain't no difference in Hillary and him. Ain't no difference in Kamala and him. Do you see the difference? Do you think Kamala would be destroying the East Wing? Do you think Kamala would be shooting down boats that you claim to be drug dealing and you ain't got no evidence? Do you think Kamala would be out here destroying the infrastructure of democracy and helping the pointing people to the extreme court, which is now poised to gut the Voting Rights Act? So if you want to build black legacy, black wealth, black generational wealth, you got to have a political infrastructure that allows you to form alliances, generate communities that produce wealth Because you've got the doors of opportunity open. Politics opens the door for wealth creation. That's why they hold on to that power so deep. This man done enriched his family by billions. $5 billion. Okay, my man got it over here, but I'm sorry. Just holler at him before he leaves. Lock him in a room. What did you do? $5 billion, and then he ain't even finished. That's in the first 10 months. So if we're going to talk about black men and wealth creation, we can't extract ourselves from the condition in which we find ourselves. And yet we have to have a mind adjustment where we believe in each other. We still think the white man's water's wetter, white man's women better. And I'm not, look, this Minnesota, this Minneapolis, Minnesota, I'm not mad at nobody hooking up with nobody. Because it's rough enough to find anybody you can get along with.
Amen.
If you and this microphone can get along, have a relationship. Hey, how are you? Fine, how are you? Why do you like me? You're big, black, and strong. Why else do you like me? You amplify me. We're going to have little children called Micrets. I ain't mad. White, black, purple, red, orange, get down. Long hair, short hair, whatever. If you find somebody, you love them, that's it. But that's a difference in doing that and hating black women. Because you say they ain't good enough. Now I got to find me a white woman. Or I got to find me a biracial woman. Or I got to find me an Indian. Right? That's different.
Yeah.
You can see by me, somebody been up in the family tree. You got your peanut butter in my chocolate. You got your chocolate in my peanut butter. We got a Reese's Pieces generation up in here. So the thing is, I ain't mad at you for marrying whoever you want to marry, whoever you can get down with, whoever likes you can put up with you. But that's different than demonizing black women as incapable of providing sufficient sustenance when they didn't sustain the race for decades, for centuries. Right? And you say, you know, I wrote a book called Why I Love Black Women, and brothers come to me, man, I can't do it. He's a black man. Why? Because they bitter. Wake up next to them, say good morning, they go, no, it's not. I said, have you ever thought you might have made her bitter? I'm just guessing. Right? Maybe because I'm a man, and you're going to be a man, and you have privileges that exceed the legal limits of your mutually reinforcing contract. I'm just trying to say it real nice. Stepping outside the bounds of what you committed yourself to. Maybe they mad because you think they got a job and you got a job. Maybe you have a rigid conception of gender. Maybe you don't have an understanding of how y'all should work together. Maybe that's why she bitter. Then they say, well, they're too choosy. I said, you know, sir, I've done a sociological analysis of black women. They date beneath their status more than any group of women in America. Mm-hmm. Black women with a PhD got a brother with a bachelor's degree, right? Black women with a master's got a guy with 12th grade. Black women with a bachelor's, he might have gone to eighth grade. That's cool, but she worked with him. Come on, Cleavis. Fix your teeth up. Comb your hair. Because you my baby. And we going out tonight. Oh. So black women are very tolerant of multifocal social relations where their men don't have to match because they understand what was against them, but they understand those men have genius, have ability, have capacity.
I got inducted into that Hall of Fame. Nas dropped out in the eighth grade. You gonna tell me he ain't a genius? Mm-hmm. It's only right that I was born to use mics, and the stuff that I write is even tougher than dice. I'm taking rap into a new plateau through rap slow. I'm rhyming as a vitamin held without a capsule. A smooth criminal on beat breaks. Never put me in your box if your stuff eats tapes. Now he working with a casino in Queens and worth multiple millions. Right? Jay-Z himself. God forgive me for my brash delivery, but I remember vividly what these streets did to me. Imagine me allowing you to nitpick at me, portray me like a pickaninny. Then he rode up on Queen. Me! Beyonce!
You.
Hottest chick in the game, wearing my chain. I guess y'all didn't get that. Lyric here, I'm so sorry. Right? Guess you're on Apollonia. Well, she was fine now. Apollonia was finer than Cass Whiskers now. Let's get it right. But so is Iman. Right? My daddy was blue black from Georgia. And I saw how Negroes dogged him. I was a little curly haired, light skinned, glass wearing. I had cataracts, so I don't wear glasses no more. But Jay-Z texted me and said, bring the glasses back. I saw how they treated him like a simian and an ape, and I saw how white people discarded him. Why are we gonna reproduce the pathology of white supremacy directed against dark-skinned black people?
Mm. Wow.
Having said that, I'm trying to bring light-skinned Negroes back because it's been rough out here. We've been in exile. All these chocolate Negroes. Look at him down there. In that damn Panama hat with that beard. Trying to be sexy, they ain't even saying nothing. Light skinned Negro gotta work hard. You chose Kendrick over Drake. It's Drake's birthday, October 24th. To me, that's a national holiday. And so then they said to me, black women too bossy. I said, you got a point on that one. You got a point. And thank God for bossy black women.
Amen.
Right? Thank God. Because without bossy black women, some of us wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
My mama, 88 years old. Michael, you are going to go to school. She didn't ask me. Ask me. Ask me. Come on, Negroes. So thank God for bossy black women. They inspire us. They incite us to a riot of possibility we didn't know existed within us. If you get the right one.
Amen.
Now, on the other hand, it could be rough, but we're not going to have that lecture today. So, black women have been extraordinary. And black men, understanding that, build on that legacy to create, because we have daughters, mothers, aunts, wives, partners, baby mamas. And so I'm not dissing you for whoever you choose, but please do not demonize the women from whose wombs you emerged. Mm-hmm. I'm almost done. Three things for our legacy. First of all, we got to understand the context within which we operate. I've been speaking about that, but let me say a little bit more. Right, it used to be that when my daddy was coming along, you could get a good factory job as an escalator into the middle class. Them jobs gone, right? The shift from manufacturing to service industries. Now it's about service, what you know, what you could do. And then my guy used to be the steel collar, took over from the blue collar because that was automated industry where the machines took your job. Now you got AI. The only AI I like was Allen Iverson. Come on, man. Come on, man. You know that was good. Come on. And AI is back. You see them on TV making all these commercials. Remember they said he lost all that money, but somebody invested in him told him?
Wait till you're 50.
What'd he get? 30 million. Legacy. Right? What's the context within which you operate? This is an industry that's driven by artificial intelligence. Now, they got stuff on, you don't even know it's real.
No, right.
They might have you on there, me on there, later on saying stuff.
Yeah, right.
And white people, when you hear this is AI, it's not me. I love all of y'all. Please don't let me miss a paycheck. This is not Michael Eric Dyson. This is Dyson AI. So we don't even know what's real no more. So we've got to determine the context within which we operate social media. And I ain't gonna lie to you, social media is hard. I mean, we got young people, they're influencers. Yeah, what's your influence? I won't be. What you doing? What'd that be? Where they do that at? But they've done a, look, I ain't mad. They done created careers out of social influence. Let me get an influencer. I'm an influencer too. I'm trying to influence people too, right? And so the context within which we live means they don't do it the ways we did it in terms of getting education. Because some of these folk, I'd be fighting with them on the media, and they'd be calling me names. And the disrespect is kind of crazy. Like, respect my game. You might not like what I do, but understand what it took for me to get where I am. Out of the ghetto of Detroit. Teen father. I ain't saying it was a shotgun wedding, but a revolver was in the room. Oh, Jesus. I was 18 and she was 26. Don't sleep on that last one. Don't sleep. So I had a baby, teen father, lived on welfare, hustled in the streets, decided at 21 I got to go back, got a GED, and then went on. I wasn't born in Princeton, I got a PhD there. So don't equate me with that, missing what I did in Detroit on the west side.
Hey.
I know y'all have Minnesota, but we had a little record company there called Motown.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't Minneapolis, but we had Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight, and the Pips. Huh? We had the Four Tops. Ain't no woman like the one I got.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? We had Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. I do now. I want your back. Ooh, ooh, baby. Hey, 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 now. Come on, man. So we had some music. We had Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Right? So we had some music up in there. Don't slight where I came from, what I had to do to get to where I am on social media. You've been on there 5 minutes, and now you know everything. Because you can Google this one. This dance is breaking my side. I still got that street up in me. I try to act like a Princeton Negro, like a Baptist preacher. But every now and again, the Holy Ghost departs and the devil rises up. So the context is the shift from manufacturing to service industries, the development of the steel collar, automated technology, pink collar, female labor, gendering the workplace, AI, now the invisible collar, the virtual collar, right? So that's the context within which we live. So we got to create opportunity based upon that. It still takes intelligence. You can't just be dumb doing stuff, right? Because I done met some of the dummies when I look at TV every day. See what's going on in this country. I see the big dummies, but they got an advantage we ain't got. You be a white dummy, you can still fall forward. You can fail up. Black dummies, you own Sanford and Son. Lamont, you big dummy. Come on, that deserved more. What is wrong with you people, man? I'm going to St. Paul next time. What's wrong with y'all? So the context of wealth creation has shifted so that there are newer opportunities that we ought to exploit. And now you got to learn from your kids. You know how you got to take your phone to your kids? Hey, how do I do this? I want to lock you out. Show me how to do it. Show me how to take your phone and jailbreak it so you can't see what I don't want you to see. Thank you very kindly. Right? Knowledge production, a big word they use in philosophy, epistemology. That don't mean you mad. Epistemology. Come on, people! Knowledge production creates opportunity to generate wealth. Now, old forms of knowledge are still critical, but newer forms allow us to expand. That's first, the context. Secondly, we got to talk about the relationship between spirit and material. Right? Now, people got all kind of religion. Religion can mess you up. Spirituality makes religion behave, right? Man, if I was in church. You don't hear me? Because a lot of us got religion, ligare, to bind together. Religion is trapping a lot of us, messing us up. Dress too long, too short, eye makeup too thick, hair too unwieldy. We judging people, right? Judge not, lest ye be judged yourself. Now, I ain't saying you can't be no fruit inspector. Right? The fruits of the Spirit, according to the Galatians, peace and love and justice. You got to inspect the fruit, but in terms of judgment, be cautious and careful. Spirit allows you, no matter what religion you are or ain't. See, white nationalists claim to love Jesus. I am an atheist to them. I don't know their God and have no interest. Call me a non-believer. It ain't if you believe in God, it's if God believes in you. Man, I could preach that.
Man.
So I'd rather work with a person who says they don't know nothing about God, but treat people right. Ain't homophobic or transphobic, ain't racist, ain't bigoted, ain't sexist. Just a good old person trying to show up and help out. But you're going, well, you don't believe in Jesus. And Jesus says, you must be born again. Born again. You got to go to church and be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues you don't understand. I'm interested in the one y'all can understand. What you be saying when you talking. Talking loud. Come on, James Brown. You're like a dull night. Just ain't good. That's when you can understand James Brown. James Brown was the first Ebonicist. James Brown was the first... E-40. James Brown was the first mumble rapper. So what did James Brown say? You don't matter what he said. Look at that beat. Gonna have a funky good time. Gonna take your I wish I had a praying church up in here. Jesus, these people are dead. Can you raise them up again? So spirit is the animating force of empathy that identifies with the vulnerable. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care if you worship Allah, read the Bhagavad Gita, the Holy Quran, and I'm a Baptist preacher. Howard Thurman, the great Baptist preacher, said, I'm as at home in an ashram as I am in a sanctuary. Yeah. If your God is that bigoted and small, your God's too small.
Right?
God bigger than you. Don't make God not only small, don't make God cosign your bigotry. Spirit is the recognition that we are cosmically linked in a communion of similar pursuit in community. Therefore, the material is not the end that we seek, but the means by which we arrive at a deeper spirituality. Getting that wealth is about creating forces of communion so we can love each other better.
Amen.
Right? Not shut them doors. I thought y'all was hip. And then trying to justify it. Don't bring me that $1,200. Now, even when you explain it, you're still kind of jacked up. And I love my man, but come on, dog. Right? Jesus said, told them stories about the woman with a mite, with a little bit. Because you take what you got and create something from it. So spirit's relationship to material doesn't see materialism as the end, but the means toward more profound community. Amen. And then finally, it allows black men to not hate each other. That's a problem. Right? You see a guy, you see he's good looking, articulate, you ain't good as me. Bro, why got to, can we both be good? Right? Brother McGee, shiny bald head, Mr. Sex Pot Chocolate. I mean, he can't help it. He's just sexy. But you mean he ain't the only one. And his being chocolate sexy don't stop you from being caramel sexy.
Amen.
Don't stop you from being smart and sharp. Brothers ought to love each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And
then we could build together. Can you imagine? You take what you got, I got what I got, I take that, and we join it together, we form corporations, not only intrafamilially within your family, but then you hook me up, and I hook you up, and you hook your boy up, and then we got us going together.
Amen.
We can go together real bad.
Amen.
Y'all slow. So, for black men to create the wealth of love, it's a wealth that certainly is generational and will last many lifetimes. Black men who embrace each other, who support each other, who don't kill each other. This is black on so-called black on black crime where black men are murdering each other, not just in the streets. You could be president using your pulpit to dog people. Stop eating that cold chicken, he said. Oh, well, didn't think I was gonna go there? Or when the woman running for president called him up on the day that the white man said he wasn't running no more and called the former first black president and he said, you have to earn it. You were 2 years in a Senate career. She'd been an attorney general, a U.S. senator, and a vice president. Bro, stop the hate. Even though, because one black life is not more important than the black journey. I don't care who you is. One black life is not above black life. Because we are here to create opportunity, to open up doors, and to love each other as black men. So when black men see each other, don't even know each other. Give them that nod. Give them that pound. What up, bro? What up? What up? If you're from Detroit, what up, dog? Now, I can't make an exception. We're better than the rest of y'all, but don't worry about it. You too, Minnesota, can catch up. You, Minneapolis, can one day be a candidate to be top 10 like this.